Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, An American Soldier, was written by Edith Sommer and Robert Soderberg and is presented in observance of Memorial Day. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with any actual persons living or dead is intended or should be inferred. This is the story of an American soldier who served in Korea, but who won his greatest victory back in the United States. The story of Corporal K. Mitta, as told by his wife.
My name is Mary Mitta. This is not my husband's story so much as it is Jerry's, Kay's son and mine. The story begins in 1942 when Jerry was 2 years old. I was living on a little farm in California with Jerry and my husband's mother. One day I'd gone into town to do the marketing, and when I returned home, Mother met me at the door.
Mary?
Yes, Mother.
Mary, this man, Mr. Parker, is with the government. He says the Army wants to send me away.
What?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Mitta, but for security reasons, all persons of Japanese ancestry must be removed from the West Coast relocation camps. But there must be some mistake. You're not Japanese.
No.
Well, then, of course, you won't have to move. Just the members of your family who are Japanese. Your husband, his son, and his mother.
They're not Japanese.
But according to my orders...
They're Japanese-Americans.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say. Will your husband be home soon? Perhaps if I explain to him...
I'm afraid not. My husband's in the Army, Mr. Parker. The United States Army. And I don't expect him home for a long while. For my baby, Jerry, it didn't matter about the move into the camp. He was with me, and that for him was home. For me, there was no question either. I loved my husband, and his people were my people. I went with them. The next year, as I passed in a state of suspension, Jerry was 3, and then 4, and then 5, and letters from his father came from Italy, France, Germany. It was in January of 1945 that our real trouble began.
Mary, it's come.
What, Mother?
The Army has ordered us to return to our homes.
When?
Immediately.
All right, then. We'll go.
Mary.
I know. It'll be all right, Mother.
But I'm afraid.
In the preceding 4 months, there had been 24 incidents of violence and intimidation against persons of Japanese descent. In our own county, a gang of young men led by an Army private dynamited a fruit packing shed owned by a Japanese-American and fired shotguns into a Japanese-American farmer's home. It was later learned that the Army private had gone AWOL after being slated for overseas duty. Then there was the case of two Japanese-American soldiers on furlough who were stoned while passing through Parker, California, on their way to visit a relocation center at Poston, Arizona. And in Poston itself, a discharged Japanese-American veteran, Hitoshi Nishikawa, was thrown out of a barbershop. He probably was foolish to enter the barbershop in the first place, since there was a sign in the window reading, "Keep out, Japs, you rats." But Hitoshi may have believed that his 7 decorations, one of them a purple heart, plus the fact that he was crippled, entitled him to a little consideration. I sound bitter about this, but you find that you suffer more when someone you love is hurt in this fashion than if it were yourself. And Hitoshi is our friend. Kay's mother, little Jerry, and I return to our farm. And the afternoon of the first day, 2 men came to the door. Yes?
We came to warn you, lady. Hey, you're no Jap.
Sure she is. She's married to one. It's the same thing. We're warning you, lady. Either you move your Jap family out of here or there'll be trouble.
Is that all?
If you move, yes. Otherwise, you'll be hearing from us.
Mary? Mary, who was that?
Just someone welcoming us back home, Mother.
Oh, that's nice.
Later that afternoon, 2 cars filled with young men drove up in front of the door. They sat in the cars and waited for about 10 minutes. It seemed like 10 hours. And then they went away. That night, must have been about 9:30, Jerry was asleep in his bed, and Kay's mother and I were sitting in the living room.
Well, for heaven's sake, who could that be at this hour?
Mother, don't answer it.
But it may be a neighbor.
No.
I just can't let it ring, dear.
Mother, please.
Mary, what's wrong?
It's... I'll answer it. Yes?
Mary Minter.
Yes?
Mary, don't you know me?
It's Mr. Corey. Mother, it's Mr. Corey.
I meant to get over earlier to welcome you folks back home, but I've had to spend the day and most of the evening down at the post office sorting mail. So a letter came for you, Mary, so I just tucked it in my pocket and brought it along. I hope it didn't frighten you.
It was Mr. Corey, our friend and neighbor. His son, Lieutenant Jim Corey, killed on Guadalcanal, had been Kay's best friend. Come in, Mr. Corey.
Yeah, thank you. Evening, Mrs. Mitter. Mary, I understand you've had a little trouble today.
Oh,
a few of the hoodlums around, Johnny come lately to the community. Not many of them, but they holler so loud they kind of drown out the rest of it, seems like. I just wanted you to know that most of your neighbors are glad you came back. And, well, we've sort of banded together and are taking turns watching your house for a while.
Why?
Oh, I don't think there'll be trouble, but if there is, well, none of us is too old that we can't lick a bunch of runny-nosed kids so brave they go around picking on women and children.
Mr. Corey, I don't know what to say.
Ain't you going to read your letter?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, it's from Kay. After all these years, I still recognize his handwriting. Well, what'd she say? I've been kind of anxious to know how he's been getting along.
Oh, he said... Well, Mr. Corey, listen to this. He says that his battalion received a presidential citation. Mother, listen. Oh. The fortitude and intrepidity displayed by the officers and men of this battalion reflect the finest traditions of the Army of the United States.
Well, now.
And then he says, the men in the other outfits treat us well, Mary. And the division we're working with is proud of us. Don't worry too much about moving back home. I think soon the people will understand.
Most of us do now, Mary. As for the others, they will too, someday.
That was in 1945. Shortly afterward, Kay came home, and the next years were the happiest I'd ever known. My husband was home. My son was growing up as a little boy should, with his father by his side. And then, early in 1950, Kay was recalled to duty. He re-entered the service and was sent to a camp in a middle western state. I sold our farm, and with Jerry, 10 years old now, and Mother, I set up housekeeping in a little home near Kay's camp. 2 months later, Kay was sent to Korea. For my family, it was war again. Night after night, Jerry, so proud of his father, patiently found Seoul on the map for us and Nakchong and Taegu.
Listen, Mother.
Hmm?
The newspaper says the stand of the American and South Korean troops at Taegu may change the entire picture in the Korean conflict.
Now, just where is Taegu, Jerry?
But I showed you on the map yesterday, Grandma.
I know. I just can't keep all those names straight.
Remember the places in Italy, Mother? Casino, Salerno, Anzio?
Yes, I remember.
Here's Taegu, Grandma. Huh? And right above it, there, that's the Mekong River. And that's the bridgehead where Daddy's fighting. See, Grandma?
Yes, I see, but I don't understand it.
You should be proud of him, Grandma.
Jerry, I'm so proud of your father, sometimes I think I'll burst with it. But I want him home.
Just as soon as he finishes his job, then he'll come home. Boy.
That day, September 4th, with a division above Taegu in Korea, my husband, Jerry's father, was killed in action. The months passed. Kay was alive in my heart. He smiled at me when Jerry smiled, and he spoke to me when Jerry spoke. A second communication came from the War Department. They asked if I wished Kay's body returned from Korea. That's up to you, Jerry.
Bring him home, Mother. He belongs here with us.
I think so, too, son.
And, Mother, couldn't he have a military funeral?
Well,
Daddy should be buried like a hero, with soldiers beside him, the American flag, and a guard of honor.
Yes, Mrs. Mitter, the Peaceable Crest Cemetery has a military section.
And it doesn't make any difference that we've only lived here a short while. We're really from California, and we came here when my husband...
Where you live makes no difference at all.
Thank you. Now, about the military service...
We make all arrangements.
Well, I don't know quite what a military service includes.
Well, there's always a guard of honor. Now, if some of your husband's friends are in the service and can attend, they will form part of the guard. Then members of our American Legion here volunteer to fill up the rest of the ranks.
That's kind of them. Do they fire a salute?
Oh, yes. That's all part of a formal military ceremony.
But it's for my son, for Jerry. He's so proud of his father. I want the ceremony to be beautiful for Jerry's sake.
I promise you it will be.
A few days later, Jerry stood beside me looking down at his father's flag-draped coffin. There was an honor guard composed of Kay's friends and members of the American Legion. During the ceremony, Jerry stood quietly without moving. But when the service was ended, and the flag that had covered his father's coffin was placed in his arms, Tears streamed down my son's face. He and I went away, but the cemetery official stayed behind.
Wait a minute before you do that. Some of the men in the honor guard were Japs.
Yes?
Was this man Mitter a Jap?
I don't know. His wife isn't.
Well, I think we'd better make certain, don't you?
Well,
I can't have them lower the coffin if... Well, I mean, after all, I have to abide by certain regulations. Must be some way we can find out if Mitter... Mitter... I thought it was Italian. But we have to find out if he was a Jap or...
Or what?
A white man.
That night, the undertaker told me that my husband's body was refused burial because he had been a Japanese-American. And then I had to tell my son. He listened silently as I spoke. And then he said,
"Why, Mother? Why?"
I couldn't answer him. I didn't know.
And I'd like to know why.
You're a reporter?
That's right. And my paper wants the story.
I'm only employed by the cemetery. I don't make the rules at Peaceable Crest.
Peaceable Crest?
Now, look here.
And what about the military section?
Well, it's for men who have died in the service of their country.
Only white men, you mean?
That's in the Articles of Incorporation. I didn't make them up. We have contracts with more than 5,000 lot owners, any or all of whom could demand their money back. If the Articles of Incorporation are violated. If the salesman had been more alert, none of this unpleasantness would have happened.
Unpleasantness?
Why, of course. Think of how his wife must feel. And there's a son, too. I can't tell you how sorry I am this happened.
I think you're going to be sorrier than that.
I don't understand.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You will.
The following day, I tried to talk to Jerry. Jerry.
Wasn't Danny an American?
Of course he was.
He was an American soldier.
That's right.
But doesn't anybody care?
The answer came later that morning. A man came to our front door.
Mrs. Mitter, I'm a reporter with the morning newspaper.
Yes?
I wrote a story about... what happened at the cemetery yesterday. The story went out on all the news.
I'm sorry, but if you don't mind, I'd rather not make a statement.
I didn't come for a statement, Mrs. Miller. I brought you a message.
A message?
I've just had a phone call from the mayor of a little town in Colorado. Worth Hill is its name. Last night, a special town meeting was held. The entire population attended. 850 people. By a unanimous decision, they voted to send you this message. It is an honor and a privilege to offer our town as a final resting place for a courageous and noble American. And we would be proud if Corporal Mitter's family would accept Worth Hill as their home. Signed, the citizens of Worth Hill.
And that was only the first. All that day, the messages kept pouring in from Maine, Ohio, from Arizona, New York, Texas, from people in towns and villages throughout the country, the messages came. They offered their homes and their hearts. I wish you could have seen my son's face when he learned that somebody did care. That night, still another visitor came to our door.
Mrs. Mitter?
I was in the living room with Kay's mother and a neighbor of ours, Elizabeth Foster, when Jerry let the visitor in. It was Mr. Benson, the director of the Peaceable Crest Cemetery.
Mrs. Smith, I want to offer you my sincerest apologies for the suffering caused you and your family by our action of yesterday.
Aren't you a little late?
This is my friend, Mrs. Foster, Mr. Benson. My husband's mother and my son, you already know.
Yes, how do you do, Mrs. Foster?
I said, aren't you a little late with your apology?
Yes, I am. I admit it.
Admit it? I'm sure you admit it. With just about every newspaper in the country writing about it, what else can you do but admit it? It's easy to come and apologize now.
No, Elizabeth, I don't think so. To come and face me now is just about the hardest thing Mr. Benson's ever done.
Thank you, Miss Smitter.
If it had been my husband...
Please, Elizabeth.
It should never have happened, Mrs. Smitter, and by that I mean the initial situation which authorized such a shocking step as I took yesterday.
Mother, may I go to my room?
I'd rather you stay, Jerry.
I know how you feel, son, and I'm deeply ashamed. Mrs. Smitter, would you bring your husband back? I realize it's little enough to offer, but we'd be honored if you'd accept the lot as a gift.
Thank you.
Then you will accept?
Mary, you wouldn't. I'd have to talk to Jerry first.
I wouldn't go near his old cemetery.
Jerry.
But, Mother, first he says no, now he says yes. Why can't we go to one of those places where they want us? Like the little town in Colorado.
I think your father would have wanted us to stay here, Jerry.
Why?
Jerry... I'm still a little mixed up, and I'm not very good at explaining things anyway, but I'll try. Your father never talked a great deal about, well, about what he believed in. He just acted accordingly. I don't know about others, but I know that Kay, your father, was back in service because he believed in something. I don't know if prejudice is a big enough word to cover what he was against, but it was a part of it anyway.
I don't know what it is.
I mean this, dear. It seems to me that your father would feel that if someone like Mr. Benson is trying to overcome a prejudice, we should help him. I think Daddy wouldn't want you to get angry or to try to get even, because that might send the person back to his prejudice again. You see?
What about the little town in Colorado? Won't they get angry if we don't come?
No. No, son, they won't get angry. If we stay here, they'll understand. It's people like Mr. Benson who need our help. The ones who live in the little town in Colorado and those others all over the country who offered us help when we needed it, they don't need to learn a thing. They know. And so, if you agree, Jerry... You'll be helping your father win his biggest victory of all. A long time ago, my husband wrote to me that someday there would be no more prejudice in America. Someday, he said, the people will understand. I believe that. But for the sake of my son... who believes it with all his heart. Let that day come soon.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Samuel S. Schneierson, president of the Jewish Child Care Association and well-known philanthropist in community affairs. Mr. Schneierson.
The program you have just heard is based not upon only one, but upon many disturbing incidents which have occurred recently in various parts of the nation. Americans of every faith have been shocked by these outrages against the traditionally democratic spirit. Is it not entirely appropriate, therefore, on this Memorial Day tribute, when we pay homage to the departed, that as we fervently pray for the preservation of those ideals of freedom and justice for which our heroes from time immemorial have given their lives, that we ask ourselves, Did these men lay down their lives for a nation half free, half slave? Surely the question answers itself. Surely we know that our servicemen have always fought, as they are fighting today, for the ever-effective extension of historic American ideals. At military cemeteries throughout the earth, people have a tragic reminder of the martyrdom of Americans to our historic concept of freedom for all, everywhere. Thus it is fitting and proper on this occasion of solemn observance to focus the spotlight upon the reflection against American democracy depicted a few moments ago. On Memorial Day, we look back into our history and draw parallels between our gains and our losses to see what we have achieved in terms of human progress and what we have paid for it in terms of human lives and human suffering. With true humility, with justifiable pride, we can say that this nation has achieved more in every field of human endeavor than has any nation in history. And we have achieved it not through conquest, not through the subjugation of other peoples, but through our own sacrificial yet ever peaceful labor, through our own aspirations and yet never-ending toil to achieve better human values for all mankind. This year, Memorial Day coincides with the festival of Shavuos, when the Jewish people celebrate the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Western civilization and American democracy have their roots in the Torah. From this divine legacy, we derive many of our concepts of liberty, of human dignity, and of the brotherhood of man. Our own great Constitution and our own immortal Declaration of Independence are directly based upon ideals first enunciated in the Torah. Let us rededicate ourselves to these stirring ideals of our noble American heritage and of our Torah. For as we truly understand and embrace these ideals in our own hearts and make them as lamps to light our way, then and only then will we give full and purposeful meaning to the tribute we pay this day to our many, many heroes.
Thank you, Mr. Schneierson. Drama today, An American Soldier, was written by Edith Sommer and Robert Soderbergh and was presented in observance of Memorial Day. It was based on material furnished by Private James T. O'Neill of Yank Magazine. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joan Tompkins as Mary Mitter, Ethel Everett as the mother, and John McGovern as Mr. Benson. The production was under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.